Tongue Lady Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Fairy Tale Lady Podcast. Today we're going to be hearing a story from China called The Return of the Priceless Jade. The Return of the Priceless Jade. The King of Qin, which was the most powerful state during the Warring States period, learned that the king of the state of Zhao had acquired a priceless piece of carved jade. The king of Qin coveted the jade and in 283 BC sent an emissary to Zhao offering to trade 15 cities for it. The king of Zhao was reluctant. He knew that if he accepted the offer, Qin would not really give up the cities, but if he refused, the powerful Qin armies would probably attack Zhao. Someone advised him to consult with Lin Jiangru on this dilemma. Lin Jiangru, who came from a poor family, was the steward of one of the court servants. Though not an important person, he was known to be brave and resourceful, and a man of his word. He had also shown considerable ability as an envoy. "If we refuse Qin out of hand," Lin Jiangru told his king, "it will make us look in the wrong. But if we give Qin the jade, and its king does not hand over the cities, it will be they who are in the wrong, and this will be to our advantage. Let me handle the matter." When Lin Jiangru reached Qin, he ceremoniously presented the jade to the king, who was delighted with it. He looked at it this way and that, and passed it about for his retainers and the court ladies for them to admire. Everyone congratulated him for having acquired such a good thing. However, in the joy and excitement, Lin Jiangru was ignored, and nothing was said about the 15 cities. Finally, Lin said to the king, "This is indeed a very good piece of jade, but it has a flaw. You will not be able to detect it unless you look at it carefully. Let me show it to you." The king believed him and gave back the jade. As soon as he had it in his hands, Lin withdrew a few steps and took a stance behind a pillar. "I brought this jade because I thought your majesty would keep your promise," he said with a great show of anger. "But you have taken it without even a mention of the 15 cities. What kind of trick is this? Now I have the jade. If you try to seize it, I will smash my head against this pillar and the jade with it." The Qin king immediately apologized and called for a map to point out the location of the 15 cities. Lin Jiangru knew that the ruler still had no intention of relinquishing the cities, but he had another plan up his sleeve. Since early times, jade has been revered for its power to impart virtue and was used for ceremonial purposes. Lin Jiangru said, "Before I brought this jade here, the king of Zhao fasted for 5 days and held a solemn ceremony. I therefore hope that your majesty will do likewise before I present it to you." The Qin king promised to do so. But that night, Lin Jiangru had one of his men disguised in rags secretly take the jade back to Zhao. Not knowing this, after 5 days, the king of Qin held a grand ceremony for the formal reception of the jade. At it, Lin Jiangru said to him sternly, "The state of Qin has some 20 rulers, and none of them were known for keeping their word. They all relied on power and oppressed the people. Considering that, and my recent experience, I am afraid of being tricked again, so I have had the jade taken back to Zhao. If you turn over the 15 cities first, the king of Zhao will certainly not refuse to give you the jade. As for myself, I am prepared to suffer the severest punishment." The Qin king was furious, but he decided it would be unwise to kill Lin Jiangru, for if he did, he might never acquire the jade, and relations between the two states would be affected. Reluctantly, he allowed Lin Jiangru to return to Zhao. The king of Zhao was very pleased with Lin's feat, and soon made him prime minister. Lin's promotion, however, was a source of great irritation to another minister, the renowned general Lian Po. Now, Lian Po was a really very upright man who had rendered outstanding service to his state, but he had one big shortcoming. He was vain and arrogant. He could not tolerate the fact that Lin Jiangru, from a poor family, should now hold a higher position than himself. He badmouthed Lin at every opportunity. Lin tried to stay out of Lian Po's way. At state meetings, he deliberately avoided sitting on the same side as Lian Po, so that it would not be too obvious that he took precedence in seating. One day, when he was out in his chariot, he saw Lian Po's chariot coming toward him along the narrow road. According to rank, Lian Po was supposed to pull over to let Lin pass. But Lin ordered his driver to pull into a small side lane so that Lian Po could go first. Lin Jiangru's subordinates could not understand his attitude toward Lian Po. "Do you think I'm afraid of him?" Lin said. "Was I afraid of the fierce king of Qin? I want to get along with Lian Po because we are both officials of Zhao. If we work together, Qin will not dare to bully us. But if we are at odds, it will be easier for Qin to invade us." These words reached Lian Po's ears. He was deeply moved and regretted the way he had acted. To express his apology, he took off his shirt and went back to see Lin Jiangru. On his bare back were many prickly branches of the chastisement tree, used for whipping people. Kneeling before Lin, Lian Po said that he should not have let a matter like personal fame and fortune turn him against Lin Jiangru. "I do not recognize your magnanimity, and I am heartily sorry for what I have done. You have every right to scold and beat me." Lin too went down on his knees. "You are very hard on yourself, General. Let us share the burdens of state together." They embraced and after that worked side by side to build up and defend their state. So for a long time, Qin did not dare to invade Zhao. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast of A Fairy Tale Lady. The background for this week's podcast was called The Moods of Man by James Underberg. Next week, we're going to be hearing stories from Russia.